Blog Talk Radio.
The Ohio State University College of Food, Agriculture, and Environmental Science is a driving force throughout rural Ohio, and in particular, its cell centers located in Piketon, Ohio. The cell centers provide research and educational formats in a number of areas, including horticulture, fruits and vegetables, soil and bioengineering, aquaculture, and business development services. Dr. Tom Worley, director of cell centers, hosts the monthly cell centers chat. Here's Tom.
Hey, welcome back to cell centers chat. Tom apologized. He has a meeting that he had to attend and asked that I would fill in. And today we have a special guest, and we also have a new University of Rio Grande intern that will be joining us for behind the scenes as well as in front of the scenes. And so I wanted to take the opportunity to introduce Tim Mabry. Tim, welcome to our program.
Thank you very much.
It is a pleasure that you've come to the University of Rio Grande what is your course of study?
Business management.
Business management?
Yeah.
And so that's out of the Evans E. Emerson E. Evans College of Business.
Yeah.
Oh, very good. And what got you involved or interested in the radio and the TV?
Well, I really like to go into production and filmmaking in the near future. I thought, like, the only thing on campus that is really offering this option is Mike Thompson. His project is many different artists on campus.
So
why not talk to Mike? And then I actually talked to Jason Winters, business administrator.
Yes.
And he had me just actually talk to you, and which led me to Mike, and which led me to off radio.
Oh, very good. Radio and TV.
Yeah,
Mike is the director of the Instructional Design and Media Services, and he's very, very good and gifted at helping students along in the process. My understanding, we have plans of you doing a radio show in the morning.
Yes, sir.
Sometime down the line that you're going to be bringing on your own guests, and you're going to be having an opportunity to do different things on the TV and radio.
Yes.
So welcome.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
And then today we have a special guest, Jeffrey Moore. Jeffrey Moore is a Ohio State University Extension educator. And so we'll find out a little bit about that. He's from Gallia County. Jeffrey has a lot of background as far as the farming aspects go and the agriculture goes. Jeffrey also has had a tour of duty, if you want to call it that, in a packing plant, and I want to ask you about that too. And so it's our pleasure to welcome Jeffrey Moore. Jeff, thank you very much for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Jeff, I understand that you've been with the Extension program for 5 years?
Actually, it'll be 4 years.
Four years. Oh, very good. So where did you get your education, and what led you to become an extension agent?
Well, I kind of always thought that's what I wanted to do, was be an extension agent or educator. And work with the farmers and producers in the area. So after high school, I decided, went to a four-year degree at Morehead State University down in Kentucky in ag science, and then had the opportunity after that to go into the University of Arkansas and do a master's in ruminant nutrition.
Oh, very good. So master's in nutrition?
Mm-hmm.
And so what does that entail?
My master's primarily focused on feeding cattle, sheep, goats, ruminant animals. Animals have a rumen that use bacteria to digest forage or their food.
Huh. Oh, that's very interesting. So, Tim, do you have a background in farming?
No.
No, I understand. I'll be quite honest with you. I'm also a city boy.
Oh, yeah. And,
you know, I truly believe that how we get our meat products, when you go to Kroger's or you go to a food store and you get these long tubes, and that's where your food comes from.
Freeze right there. Right there.
And I've come to learn a little bit more about agriculture, you know, working with Ohio State, some of the researchers, Jeff was going through some of the different things that he's involved with. So, Jeff, as an extension agent, tell the listening audience and us, what are some of the things that you're really involved with here at Gallia County?
Being the ag educator for Gallia County, I have the opportunity to work with a lot of groups, a lot of individuals, whether that be some of our produce growing groups, our cattlemen, Gallia County Pride and Tobacco, several individuals like that, the farmers market, anything like that, whether they be farming individual or a group, whatever.
Oh, okay. And you know, farmers market, did you say?
Mm-hmm.
And the farmers markets are basically what?
The farmers market is just a place that farmers can come together and offer their products that they have for sale. Again, whether that be produce, meat, dairy products, or even just other goods that they soap, lotions, and anything like that.
Yeah. You know, Tim, my wife and I went up to Quebec a number of years ago. We stopped in a farmer's market, and this was rather interesting. It was right on the St. Lawrence Seaway. Not only did they sell goods and things, they also sold wine, and they sold cheese, and they sold different kind of products. Do our farmers markets do that?
Yeah, the wine would be something a little bit different because we'd have to have an alcohol license to be able to sell that.
Yeah.
But your cheeses and all that type of things, noodles, all that can be sold under the cottage food industry laws here in Ohio. Each state's different on how they set things up, so if you get on the ODA website, or Ohio Department of Agriculture website, there's a place called the cottage food industry laws for rules. And it'll tell you what you can and can't see.
And I know, Tim, you come from Georgia.
Yeah.
And so I bet you've been looking around for all different kinds of peaches.
Yeah, all sorts. I mean, all I know is one is sort of the yellow one, really small but really delicious. My dad always brings it home every Friday, and, whoa, I tell you. Yeah, it's delicious.
So do they have peach trees around here?
Yeah. Here in southeastern Ohio, or southern Ohio in general, there's quite a few fruit orchards, whether those be apples or peaches, pears, anything like that.
Huh. And I noticed that there's a lot of wine grapes and different things of that nature also.
Lately, there's been an increase in amount of vineyards for wine production. Also, hops. For hop production is another thing that's taken off in the state, raising hops for local or small breweries.
Yeah, it's my understanding that there are microbreweries that are sprouting up, and that they are in need of more hops because that is an ingredient. Have you ever made beer, Tim?
Oh, no.
How about you, Jeff?
I've never made it. So.
The closest we ever came to was wine.
Yeah.
But I guess hops is a important ingredient. Yeah, you're dealing with two novice.
Well, hops are, it's a plant.
Okay.
And the part they actually harvest is basically seed pod. And that's what they're using to make the beer when they're making it. It's a vine, it can grow very tall. The ones I've seen, they've used telephone poles, ran cable across the bottom, then ran cords down to the ground. The vine will climb the length of that cord.
Wow.
And then in the fall, they go in and cut them down, harvest the hops, dry those, and market them. And they'll come back up in the spring.
So do they grow like wildflowers, or do you have to water them once in a while?
Most of them are being raised under irrigation, and their fertility being monitored and controlled. That way they get a consistent crop and a consistent flavor.
Huh. Does soil have anything to do with like for instance with grapes, I understand that grapes in our soil country, or our part of the area, is different than up north, mm-hmm. or other places.
Yeah, your soil type is going to have a large impact on the chemical makeup that in anything you harvest off of it. So a grape harvested here isn't going to taste the same as one up north or even one out in California. It's going to be different. It's going to be more linked to our area. So it'll give us that different taste, that signature taste is what a winery would tell you. So.
Since you're a calf farmer, do you ever like produce your own? Do you ever use the cow's like feces or poop to make like fertilizer?
Yeah, a great byproduct of the cattle industry, whether it be beef or dairy, either one, is the amount of manure they're producing.
Mm-hmm.
90% of what a beef or a dairy animal eats passes right through it into its manure and its urine.
Mm-hmm.
So farmers work to collect that and reapply it to their crop fields, their pasture fields, anything like that, to put that fertility back that's being taken
mm-hmm.
out by raising those crops.
So it's my understanding you can use any feces from any animal?
On a food crop, only use manures from animals to eat plants, basically.
Really?
Yeah, we wouldn't want to include our dog and cat manure in something that we're going to use on our vegetable garden or on a crop that we're going to be eating.
Now, why is that?
Animals, like our dogs and cats, they typically eat more meats and things like that. Whenever an animal like that in its feces, there's more of a chance you're going to have E. coli and different bacteria that can make us sick. And some of those can actually live through the compost period. And could still be there to make us sick later.
Oh, really?
So,
so if I grew some tomato plants,
mm-hmm.
and we have strange cats walking around, or we have some other kinds of animals like squirrels or things of that nature, they could be a detriment to our plants?
They could be. You really only want to apply composted manures to your crops you're going to be eating. It's actually a law through the USDA. There's a minimum amount of time that you have to give from applying raw manure to a field to when you can harvest a crop off of it. It's different amounts of time for different crops, but all that's available online. And as far as a stray dog or cat going through your garden, it's probably nothing to worry about. If you see a pile of feces or manure on the ground, you might remove it from your garden or something, but it shouldn't be that much of an issue.
No, okay.
Okay.
So what about birds, bothering our garden and
mm-hmm.
the plants? I myself like birds. I was raised with
mm-hmm.
parrots and things of that nature. And, I know that Mike loves dogs, Dwayne, and everyone has their favorite animal. What kind of favorite animal would you have?
My favorite animal would be a dog.
Dogs?
They're usually loyal and they'll back you up. They'll entertain you and keep you responsible.
Birds definitely have a place in your garden. They eat insects. They're going to eat things that could be harmful to our plants. Someone you don't want to discourage those birds from being there.
Huh.
And, we do have to manage different situations because, if those birds are eating the seeds, like when they're being planted, maybe we have to plant them a little deeper or cover those seeds with a net or something until they have a chance to come up. Blueberries is one of those things that if you're not putting a net over your blueberry bush, the birds aren't going to leave you a single one of them. So, sometimes
they
have to manage.
They do on my car.
Well, they do leave them on your car later on. So.
Later on,
but not in the edible form.
That is true. It does seem that birds like my car because every morning I'll notice that they've left me gifts.
Normally on the windshield. So.
Only on the windshield.
Yeah.
But in our southern Ohio area, what are some of the products or kinds of things that we grow on a farm? Whether it's cattle or vegetables, what are some of the
okay? Southern Ohio in general has a very diverse amount of products that they produce. You know, we're a large supplier of beef cattle industry, whether that be through the cattle or marketing them on the feedlot or whatever. We've got a lot of other products available. You know, we have people raising chickens here in the area, turkeys in the area, specialty things such as rabbits. Then you get into all the produce that we can grow. If you can raise it, it's being raised in southeastern Ohio.
You know,
the environment.
This is interesting. Since Ohio started talking about marijuana, changing the marijuana laws in the small business development program,
mm-hmm.
you know, we get requests to help individuals with their businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And so far I've had several requests on how to start marijuana. And until the laws change, I am not allowed to help those individuals with any business plan because basically marijuana
mm-hmm.
is against the law.
Yeah.
However, they're talking about medical marijuana. Now, is medical marijuana the same as or is that a medical question I need to ask?
I was just going to say I'm not an expert on any of that.
Yeah.
I would say that it is the same type, but probably something we need to refer to our medical community.
Sure. Sure.
Again, like you, as long as it's illegal, it's something I'm not allowed to work with.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And I know that individuals throughout Ohio and throughout the United States look at ways in which they can make cash crops.
Mm-hmm.
And there's illegal ones. We are not allowed to. And I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
So as you're looking at the vegetables and the berries, I know that you've had 32 years living on a farm,
mm-hmm.
And I know that it was a cattle farm.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about cattle. Since I'm a city boy, I have been used to making things fast.
Mm-hmm.
And farmers, people in the industry, look at animals a little bit differently. I was talking with one lady who raised a small calf for a 4-H into a large cow.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day she came home and said, "Where's Betsy?" And she said, "Well, sit down and meet. We'll talk about it." And to me, I would have such a difficult time with that. But on the other end, Can you sort of tell how you feel about our animals being coming to pets? You know,
how do you build the mentality for that?
Well, I'll agree that sometimes it can be an issue for people to be able to eat something after they've raised it. Having been raised on a farm and been around this kind of stuff my whole life, I guess it's just a... You have it in your mind that that's what this animal is being raised for. And with knowing that that's why we're raising it, it's our job to ensure that they have the best life they possibly can while they're growing, while they're alive. We want to make sure that animal is being well taken care of and that it can be enjoying its life. And then when it does come time to have that animal processed so that it can feed people, that we make sure that's done humanely in an ethical way.
Yeah,
to where it can be.
Again, I know you've had 4 or 5 years working in a packing plant. In a packing plant, it's my understanding, I don't know the correct word to use, but you harvest cattle from beginning to end. And, you know, as manager, it's rather interesting going through a packing plant. The animal... Is there much waste when you're producing? First of all, is there blood
mm-hmm.
that you have to dispose of, or do you do something with the blood?
Well, the great thing about the cattle industry or processing cattle is that basically every piece of it is used for something. Whether it's the meat that we're eating, you know, the bones, the offal, the waste, basically. That is all being taken and used. It's rendered to get the nutrients out of it, as well as used for fertilizer and different things like that. So nothing really goes to waste.
And you're a member of the Cattlemen's Association?
Yes.
And so what is the Cattlemen's Association? What do they do?
Okay. Well, actually, there's several Cattlemen's Associations. The Gallia County Cattlemen's Association, much like other counties, normally have a Cattlemen's Association. They work to represent the cattle producers in that county or that area. Then there's normally a state Cattlemen's Association, the Ohio Cattlemen's Association in our situation. And they represent us not only as a beef industry, but they take it to a legal point, too. You know, when laws are being made, whenever Congress or the representatives or anything like that are trying to make decisions, they go up and represent on our behalf. So.
Oh, okay. And do you find that legislators have to constantly be educated as to the benefits or the detriments of some of the laws?
Yeah. You know, much like yourself, you said you aren't familiar with a lot of those, with a lot of the practices and stuff. You know, a lot of our lawmakers have never experienced anything that's living on a farm or actually the farming practices. And even with, once they're educated, you know, a lot of them change positions every couple of years. So
politicians? I didn't know that.
So there's a lot of turnover, so there's always somebody there that needs to be educated.
Talk about politics. So let's say, like, the country gets in a war, or maybe we get by, like, a bomb, a nuclear bomb. Like, will the military immediately take over your industry? Like, will they tell you how to run things, to produce for the population that's left after the war outbreak?
I wouldn't see that happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, farmers have always been very good about taking the initiative to do
mm-hmm.
what needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And we're very independent.
Yes.
And I think that the farmers would step up on their own free will and say, hey, we need to produce this so that we're providing our country and our troops and everybody
mm-hmm.
what they need. So.
That's interesting. We only have about 5 minutes, and I wanted to talk about your involvement, the Ag Center's involvement with the 4-H program. Why 4-H is so important? And I know that you have Tracy Winters, your associate, who does a really good job with running the 4-H. But tell the listening audience why 4-H is for everyone, just not for rural kids.
Yeah. I guess to start out with, I was a 4-H member for 11 years, I believe, and started as soon as I could when I was old enough and started taking projects to the fair. And, I mean, I showed crops, livestock, everything you can imagine, but that's not what 4-H is all about. 4-H is a program that, you know, as a city kid or a farm boy, you can all be in it. I mean, there's programs with rockets, health care, nutrition, I mean, anything. There's projects for laundry. If you're interested in it, there's a 4-H project for us. And it's a great opportunity for kids or youth in that it allows them the chance to have public speaking experience, interview skills through being judged and things like that. It's a great way to get your foot in the door for scholarships and stuff as you're getting ready to go to college. I know Tracy, you mentioned Tracy Winters, is our 4-H educator in Gallia County. She does an awesome job with kids. Her and Tiffany Ream, program assistant there, works at 4-H too. And they're working with the Clover Buds, the kids who are pre-kindergarten, and even younger kids like that, to where get them involved, get them out there, and get them started. And it, like I said, it's a great program. Also, the FFA would be another one. It is separate from 4-H.
But the Future Farmers of America.
It used to be. Now it's a national FFA organization.
Oh, okay.
Because they're more than just plows and cows.
Wow.
Because it gets into the technology and everything else, too. So
both
a very good program.
So what's the difference between NFFA and 4-H?
FFA and 4-H are similar programs, but FFA was started by the VOAG program in schools. It's just a branch of that program.
I see.
4-H is a standalone program, but while they work with the schools, they are not specifically tied to the schools.
I see. So were you both?
I was both.
Huh.
Same time.
And just out of curiosity, us city folks sort of gravitated for Boy Scouts. Were you a Boy Scout?
I was a Cub Scout.
Cub Scout?
It's a little bit that I kind of finished that. That was looking so very awesome.
Oh, I see. But were you involved with the Boy Scouts?
Nope. Yeah. I was 4-H and FFA all the way through. Never did do Boy Scouts.
And on your farm, you primarily did cattle?
Yeah. Growing up, our farm is primarily a cow-calf operation. Raised calves, sold those at weaning, or finished them out and sold them as meat. So.
Wow.
And to feed them, you also probably had plowable acreage land to feed them?
We normally purchase the grain products we need. We do raise all the forage ourselves, so hay and pasture is all what we'd raise, and we'd buy the grain.
Okay, all right. Well, we only have a few minutes left. There's a ton of questions that we have, so you'll have to come back.
Okay.
And we're going to ask some more. And it's my understanding that you are on
WSAZ Saturday Report with John Mara.
And what is that about?
That program is actually similar to this one. We talk about ag topics that are coming up, giving helpful hints, and maybe some demonstrations on how to do things in their homes, yards, and farms.
And so that's WSAZ,
mm-hmm.
and it's farm?
No, Saturday Report is what it's called.
Saturday Report.
Yes, on Saturday morning.
Okay, well, very good. We will possibly tune up or tune in,
okay.
Depending upon if we want to get up early enough on Saturday morning. Yeah, it just depends.
Yeah.
We have 1.5 minutes. You have 30 seconds to tell us all the different things about the Ag Center. To go to it.
Oh, wow. It's a lot to talk about in a minute and a half. I guess just we're there to help you, whatever you can do.
That's
you know, if you're looking at getting starting in a farm or if you're wanting to expand a business or diversify your operation somehow, let us know. We'll try to help you anywhere we can, whether it be making contacts for you to help you get financial assistance or telling you who to contact. Or if you need education on something, or if you need certification, we'll figure out how to help you. Anything we can do to make it easier.
And how can people get in touch with you
quickly? If you're running the Gallia County office, you can call the office 740-446-7007.
So that's 740-446-7007.
Okay. Or you can go on our website, just Google Gallia County Extension Office. We also have a Facebook page. Look us up on there. So.
Okay. All right. Well, Jeff, I want to thank you very much for being on our show.
Thanks for having me.
It's my understanding you're on another show, and we're going to be playing this again throughout the summer. So I really appreciate your involvement as a 4-H extension. And, Tim, I want to thank you very much for being a part of our show. I know that you've been behind the scenes, so we have – Mike and Dwayne that are making us look pretty and sounding good, etc. So
this has been a really moving talk.
please thank you for listening and have a good evening. Ohio State University College of Food, Agriculture, and Environmental Science is a driving force throughout rural Ohio, and in particular, its South Centers located in Piketon, Ohio. The South Centers provide research and educational formats in a number of areas, including horticulture, fruits and vegetables, soil and bioengineering, aquaculture, and business development services.